Welcome to another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network, sponsored by TBILaw.com.
For automatic reminders about this radio show and other great survivor events,
sign up now for TBIFM.org.
When Attorney Gordon Johnson speaks about recovery, he isn't talking about the amount of money a survivor gets from a lawsuit or settlement. He is talking about getting better from the brain injury. Find him on the web at TBIFM.com or call 800-992-9447.
And now, it is time for another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network.
Hello, welcome to Brain Injury Radio Network. Tonight is our regular Wednesday installment of our program Recovery Now with your host, Kim Justice. If you'd like to know more about my story, you can find it at inaflash.org. I, too, am a fellow traumatic brain injury survivor. I appreciate you tuning in tonight, and as always, I look forward to your input. So now, we'll get on with the show. Hello there, and welcome to the Midwest, where we've finally got a heat wave going on. So glad you're all here tonight. Going to take care of a little housekeeping first. You'll hear that the winds have picked up. You might catch a little sound of my wind chimes in the back. I've got a wind chime tree, and it's really windy out all of a sudden. Anyway, welcome to our show, Brain Injury Radio. This is your host, Kim Justice, and all of our shows are recorded and immediately archived after the live show. We're on 7 nights a week with 10 different hosts, so everyone brings something different to the table. We're also very excited about our peer-to-peer support line. The website for that is the number 4, PEER11.org. There you will find information on how one survivor can talk to another. You'll get the number. Ultimately, that's going to be a 24/7 proposition, but I think they're up to 10 to 12 hours a day now and looking for volunteers. So if you're willing to volunteer 4 hours of your time each month is all, then certainly check out 4peer11.org. It'll give you some information on that. You go through some training so that you know what we do and what we don't do on those survivor calls. But in any case, the commitment after that is for 4 hours a month. So check it out. Let's see. Any other housekeeping tonight? I think what I'm going to do, Kitty, I see you there in the chat room. Why don't you Skype in? We'll say hi to you tonight. My guest, Michael Strand, hasn't showed up on the switchboard yet. So, as you guys know, I can talk about a lot of different things, but I thought if Keith Anthony wanted to come on for a few minutes, we'd let him. Otherwise, I'll probably play the song for you and then go and see if I can call our guest. As you know, or maybe don't know, the first part of my show, which is a 3-hour show, is an interview with a guest or we have a topic. And the last half of my show is general conversation. If people want to call in, it's a little more less formal. And we just have a little conversation, or I play music. And that's what you'll hear a lot of the time in the second half of the show. And it's all indie music. These are all independent musicians who own the rights to their own music, trying to make their way out in the music community. And so we're very happy that so many of them have allowed us to play their music on my show. And so that's a good time if you like to hear new music. I think what I'm going to do now is play one of those songs for you. And as a matter of fact, last week I didn't have his website correct, so I'm going to make it up to him this week and type it into the chat room for you guys to see. His name is Daniel Christensen, and his website is danielchristensenmusic.com. That's DanielChristensenMusic.com. This guy is really great. I had the opportunity to meet him in person, and he's a really, really nice guy, and his music seemed to fit the theme of my show really well, and so he was kind enough to let me play some of his music. Excuse me, I've got a little bit of a frog tonight. So I'm going to play his song, Find My Voice, and see if I can go track down my guest. Thanks. We'll be back in 4 minutes and 8 seconds.
Question never seems to change. Are you with them or are you with us? And if it's true, I am not ashamed. There shouldn't be much to discuss.
Hi, Mike.
But for every answer that draws you near, there is an answer that will make you run. As long as identity remains unclear, the coward will give the easy one. We can be automatic, carefully diplomatic. I need courage to speak my choice. Now that it's been a while since my courtyard denial, I am still trying to find my voice. I am still trying to find my voice.
9540.
My brother is waiting to believe. We all love him just the same. There are gifts we both receive under the same sun and rain. I can't speak out of stillness, but I'm waiting to fill this space with courage to make my choice. How can we preach salvation from our own isolation? I am trying to find my voice. I am just trying to find my voice. Maybe we all have a role to play. Maybe this is my inauguration day. Finally getting used to my own skin. I never knew I would come this far. When you get too good at fitting in, hard to tell who you really are. Now is the time to make my choice. Now is the time to find my voice. Now is the time to make my choice. Now is the time to find my voice. And now is the time to find my
Christensen with Find My Voice. I encourage you to check him out at danielchristensenmusic.com. Hello, Les Paul. I was having the same issue that you had last night. I misplaced my guest, and so I was just opening up, and this time I promise I typed the right number into the chat room. So in any case, my guest is here now with me, and I'm very glad of that. In January of 1989, Mike Strand suffered a severe brain injury followed by a 10-day coma after his pickup was broadsided by a semi-truck. He was in the hospital for 8 weeks and had a lengthy recovery. After the first year, he had completed all of his rehab therapy, but as we all know, he was far from recovered. He spent the past 24 years steadily improving himself. Since 1998, he's been a regular columnist for the Brain Injury Alliance of Minnesota's newsletter, and he's published his best and most popular columns in a book titled Meditations on the Brain, available from Lash Publishing. His second book, containing more recent columns, will be available later this summer. So be sure to check him out at lapublishing.com. And now, without further ado, I will say welcome to the show, Michael Strand. Come on down.
Well, Kimberly, thank you. I'm right here.
Great to have you with us tonight.
Great to be here.
How are you?
You know, I'm doing really good. We've had some weather here in Minnesota, but it's all cleared up now. It's supposed to be nice tomorrow.
Oh, good. You've been getting some of that rain we've all been getting?
Yes, I have. I was trying to get the lawn mowed today, but it just never stopped raining long enough to dry out. So I guess it'll be happening tomorrow.
Ah, yeah. Well, we got the opportunity to do that today. I think we're going to get some tomorrow. And it's been really weird this year, and we're both in the Midwest, but first week in May, it was still 30 degrees, and we had a 1 to 3 inch snow warning. It's been really cold. Today, it was sunny and about, I don't know, 90 some odd degrees, and then all of a sudden a couple hours ago the wind picked up and the temperature dropped probably 15 degrees. So, and then tomorrow we're getting the rain back, but we got about 3 inches over the course of a couple of days last week. And I know that one of our hosts in the chat room, Les Paul from Tuesday night, he's in South Carolina, and he's been having terrible, they had about 3 inches of rain, I think, in one night, had all kinds of power outages and heavy lightning. So hopefully that's all done for you.
I hope so. I really hope so. Yeah, we just had wild weather this year.
Yeah, really crazy. Don't know what's causing that. But in any case, why don't we go back a minute to 1989? And you're driving down the road in your semi, not your semi, in your pickup truck.
Yes.
And why don't you?
Well, this
start
is.
From there.
I had just left work. It was 3:30 in the afternoon, and I was about a mile from work. You know how it is, long line of cars. And I got to a T intersection, And at 3:30 in the afternoon in January, the sun is right down there near the horizon, so it's right in your eyes. Mm-hmm. And I just pulled out like there was nothing coming. I obviously didn't see the semi truck coming, and then that was all she wrote. And
So where did broadside? You said it broadsided you.
Yeah, yeah. Hit me right in the Sutton driver's side.
Ooh.
And it booted it about 75 yards. I mean, it was flying along. It was going along a pretty good clip. And when my all the guys that were on the EMTs on the rescue squad were guys I work with, so they all knew me. And they came up and they saw this smashed up truck. And they go, "Oh my God, it's Mike. It's going to be bad." And they got there and they opened the car. I know on the passenger side there was no damage at all. And they just opened the door up and saw me laying in there. And he goes, "Oh, he's just knocked out." And then they took my vitals and stuff, and they went, "Oh no, he's mostly dead." And they didn't think they'd get me to the hospital. And you know, everyone's got these. You know, if it weren't for this, I wouldn't be here sort of things. And for me, they had just a month before gotten a pneumatic splint, which I don't know how it all works, but it keeps your blood pressure elevated. And so they put that on me, and it kept my blood pressure elevated, and they were able to get me to the hospital. And my medical record from the hospital says that the patient arrived in pristine condition. There wasn't a mark on me, other than I had this, you know, it was the coup, counter coup of having your brain shaken so violently in inside your head.
Right.
That did all the damage. So there wasn't a mark on me. Well, there's a little mark on my head where I hit the window on the side, but it was all but gone. When I was in a coma for 10 days, and when I came out of my coma 10 days later, there really was nothing there. And so it was very, you know, a lot of people have a hard time accepting that they've had a brain injury that really happened. Like, this must be a dream or something. And that was definitely the way I felt, because I'm going, of course this is a dream. I'm in a hospital. I've had this terrible accident. Everyone's all around me, but I'm fine. There's not a mark on me, no broken bones. I had tubes in and out of coming out of my nose and stuff, but there really wasn't anything that I could see wrong with me. And, you know, that's the thing with the brain injury. From the inside, you can't tell that you have a brain injury. So, I mean, there's some dizziness, and there's some, and obviously, you know, that there's headaches and stuff. There's effects of things like that. But more to the point, when you're just thinking, if you're just sitting there and you're thinking, it doesn't, you know, you can't tell that your brain isn't working as well as it used to. All you have to go on is what other people tell you. You know, you're getting a secondhand story from other people. You know, they're saying, "Hey, your speech is slurred. You're hard to understand. You're not making sense. Settle down." And of course, to you, they're talking way too fast. They're not making any sense, and you're getting very aggravated and frustrated with them.
So you did, in fact, have some symptoms. You just weren't aware of them. You didn't hear you slurring your speech or any of it. I want to back up just 1 minute. So you're in this coma, and when you woke up, I guess you said you didn't feel anything. So apparently you just, boom, woke up out of that coma, and, you know, just were like, What am I doing in the hospital, kind of a thing?
Well, you know, I don't
really... Did you remember the accident?
I don't remember the accident at all. I don't remember the accident. I don't remember most of the 80s. But, you know, so everything I'm telling you about my accident, I'm getting, you know, getting from the paramedics and the guy behind me. I work with him too, and so he told it's all these stories that have been told to me about what happened that day. I don't remember anything, and it kind of comes that way. In a sense, this, the whole brain injury is something I'm not experiencing directly. The accident they tell me about, a lot of the symptoms, it's when people tell me you're not making sense and you haven't quite got a grasp on this situation that, I have to take their word for it. Now, I do, there are some things like, I have the bad balance, and my vision is, I have really bad double vision, and as it gets later now towards the evening, my speech will start slurring, and so things like that. It's not that I can't tell at all that I have a brain injury, but
so.
What I'm really getting to with this is when I'm getting into a situation where I'm angry and I'm frustrated, and I can't tell that it's because I have a brain injury and I'm not processing things properly and stuff. And then when I look back at the situation, I can see and understand what was going on. I say, oh, I wasn't seeing this. I didn't understand that.
Right.
but at the moment, in the clutch of the moment, it's rarely apparent to me.
So obviously your car didn't get the same report about being pristine, I'm guessing.
No,
being broadsided by a semi.
Yeah, no, it was pretty much totaled. My dad went and took a bunch of pictures and then discovered there was no film in the camera, so I had no idea what my car looked like.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
So
you woke up then. You woke up. Now, first, I want to ask you something else, too. I want to back up on things that you've said. You said that you worked with those guys and the first responders recognized your truck. Were you a first responder, or in what capacity did you know these people?
No, it was just we all work at Anderson Windows.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And the town it's in is called Bayport, and it's a small town.
Okay, all right.
So you just end up knowing a lot of people.
Right. Okay. Well, I was just curious. I didn't know
right.
when you said that. So small town,
right.
and you knew everybody probably.
Knew
so
everybody. Yep.
Of course, these guys are going to recognize your truck. So, so you wake up after being in a coma. Now you don't notice that your vision is having problems.
You know, I didn't. I really didn't at first. I don't recall. Maybe I did. I knew that I was probably on medication too,
so you might not have, really processed what it was about if they had you on, medication.
I don't think they had me on any medication though. I don't remember. I was in no pain. Because
well, that's
again, nothing
one or
was
two
broken.
Right. Oh, okay.
Right. Right. I mean, I had nothing broken and no internal injuries, so I was. Apparently while I was in my coma, there was several occasions where my temperature spiked really high, up over 108 degrees. And so they were quite certain that if I ever did come out of a coma, I would be severely brain damaged.
Right.
From
yeah,
that.
Yeah, a long time, sure.
Yeah, and they had no idea if I'd be ever come out of a coma or what I'd be, what kind of condition I'd be in when I got out of the coma. So.
Were you married then?
No, I was engaged to be married.
Oh, gosh.
We were engaged, we were supposed to get married in June, and this was in January. So and towards the end of February, I was still I wasn't walking yet, and you know, that's another thing too. You know, I couldn't walk. I wasn't completely paralyzed, but my balance was so bad, and my left side was so numb that I couldn't stand on my own. I had to have people hold me up and stuff. But so we were engaged, and my fiance asked me later in February if because we had to, you know, either cancel it or go with it. We had to know one way or the other by then. And we were planning this huge wedding, and and she asked me if I wanted to do it, and I'm like, yeah. I can't believe you want to do it, but yeah, I want to do it. So I was really so moved that she still wanted to marry me that, you know, I made one of my first big decisions I made was I said, okay, I'm going to walk down that aisle.
Aww.
I don't want to be in a wheelchair going down the aisle and stuff. That was, I mean, if someone's got to do that, that's fine. But I just made that a goal in my mind. So I'm going to walk down that aisle because I don't want to be, I don't want her to have gained a child. I want her to gain a, you know, a spouse, a co-equal partner. And that was real important to me at that point. And so I swear sometimes that I was walking just through sheer will and determination, and I'd be floating if my feet were just dragging.
I don't think that's a bad thing, and I understand what you mean. You know, there's people that have an idea of who they're marrying, and then something changes health-wise, and not everybody sticks in, you know. Not everybody, you know, some people might have wanted to wait. Some people might have been so scared they would have changed their mind. So I understand where you're coming from on that.
Yeah, it was interesting. My mom was one of these people that she's always been a dreamer and kind of had her head in the clouds, and both my wife and I would just kind of, we still do, we just kind of shake our heads. And she's 73 and she's planting an orchard on her farm.
Your mom?
My mom. And I'm going,
now?
Yeah, and I'm going, well, I mean, not right away today, but it just, the you know, last summer she started planting it. And I'm going, Mom, these are trees. You know, what are you doing planting trees when you're 73? But I'm not gonna. That's her world.
Yeah,
After my accident, you know, everyone was telling my fiance that, you know, they didn't say you should leave, but they said we'll totally understand it because, you know, she was young, beautiful, had a great job, a wonderful future. And why would she want to tie herself to someone who's probably going to be in a nursing home the rest of his life? And that was what they were seriously, that's what a reasonable expectation was. Is if I really, if I made it out of the hospital, we would just do a nursing home. And the only person who said otherwise was, of course, my mom. And she said, no, Mike will be fine. She said, you watch. He'll come back with this like it never happened. He'll be better for it. And, you know, I think of now, I'm going, look, if my mom was once right in her life, through all the times that it was a complete pie-in-the-sky dream, and this was the one time she was right, I go, that must be why that was, because that's what my wife hung on to. And she said, you know, that's what she, and she goes, I'm going to marry him.
Oh.
So,
Was it in June?
Yep. Yep. We I worked at it very, very hard, and it was in the video we had. My wife, she looks like she's walking this old man down the aisle. I'm just kind of stepping small steps, kind of tottering, but I was doing it.
Yeah, I was going to say, but you were walking.
I was walking. So that was my first big victory. I said, I will do this. But you know what? It was because I had that to look forward to. That was huge.
Absolutely.
I was never that close with my family, my mom. But I had a lot of really good friends, and they hung with me through it all, which I know is also very rare. And my best friend, who I'd known since I'd known probably about 6 or 7 years at that time, is still my best friend. We still do things all the time.
Awesome. So yeah. One of the things they ask, the audience asks people, are things like that. You know, did your, how was your relationship with your family? Did that change? What about with your friends? Heck, we had a guest on who had been your worst case scenario. They had been married a while. She had a brain injury, did wind up in a nursing home. It's been 8 years. He stayed married to her, but I'll never forget a comment he made, and that's that half of her family hasn't been there for years because they, quote unquote, couldn't stand to see her that way. And so certainly there's some people that react that way. Obviously you had the support. Sarah in the chat said it's awesome that your wife lived up to her vows before she even took them, and I think we can all agree with that. And your best friend stuck by you. That's great. You broke up just a little on mom. Can you go over that again for just a moment? And then what about other friends and relationships? Did you notice any difference after your injury?
No, I was very fortunate. My friends would still, well, and know that I worked very hard at being the kind of person my friends would like to be around.
Sure.
And I tried not to just talk about my brain injury because it fascinates me endlessly, but it's very tiring for other people. You know, they care, but
it was probably kind of hard to do. I mean, in the beginning, you had a long, and I'll have you a little bit about the long and the kinds of therapy that you had. But, I mean, it's that your vision was kind of screwy and your balance was really off. So, no, had you noticed by this point, or have you ever noticed, do you have problems with your short-term memory?
Oh yeah, I have huge memory problems. Well, as you'll notice tonight, it was, you know, at various times through the day, I was reminding myself, okay, I have to call in at 5 to 9 tonight, and then all of a sudden, by 8 o'clock, I had totally spaced it. I happened to be sitting right where I'd be sitting for the interview, so it was. Now, when you called, I was able to respond to it right away,
mm-hmm.
But it just completely slipped my mind. It's my memory is actually, it's improved dramatically over the years. It's now it's more a matter of things it's what they call lack of occurrence.
Right.
Things
right.
Just don't occur to me. And that's more the issue.
Well, I want to tell you something, though, that might make you feel a little better about spacing off the show. When I went to call you, I did the right thing by putting on the song to call you. I forgot to mute my mic, so everyone in the audience heard me talking to you. So that's what you get when you come to Brain Injury Radio, folks, is every now and then you're just going to get some scrambled eggs. That's just all there is to it. So Mike and I were there tonight at 9 o'clock. For those of you that missed it, we had a little trouble taking off between the two of us, but thank goodness I was able to reach you, even if the whole world did hear me dialing you, and we got things going. But it's kind of funny. I feel better. I hope you feel better.
Yeah, I really do. It's nice to be talking to people with a brain injury and in this kind of forum, because elsewhere in the world, these sort of things happen to me, and it's not really as understandable or as easily forgiven.
That's the truth. Yes, that's definitely the truth.
You know, because I don't like to walk around with my brain injury like a badge. You know, so,
right.
Hey, I'm brain injured. And I used to have to say that because there was obviously something wrong. And so you'd want to say, okay, well, this is what I've got going on. And eventually, after a few years, you get past that.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Well, you're in this
Everyone's
small
in
town,
place.
So word was probably kind of getting around about the terrible accident
I didn't actually live in Bayport, but I've lived in the valley, different little towns in the valley, my whole life, and so I just knew people all up and down the valley, and I was I know a lot of people now, and I knew a lot of people then, and I know that the little north there is a little town I grew up in, and I know they had a prayer vigil and stuff for me. And even though I hadn't lived there at the time, about 5 or 6 years. But.
Awesome. That helped.
Yeah.
Okay, I think where I was when I departed about our faux pas at the beginning of the show was, okay, you've gotten married, but you're still pretty early in your recovery process. Like you said, you thought it was on sheer will and the grace of God that you were able to walk down that aisle, even if you weren't skipping down the aisle, you did it. But
right.
You still had a ways of recovery with the things you were walking away with. So now we know that you do have the memory problems that most of us talk about on Brain Injury Radio. It seems like that's a common thread that, pardon me, runs through a lot of our cases, and that balance issue and you know, the walking problems, the vision issues. These all seem to be fairly common things with the brain injury. Now, had your speech cleared up at this point, or did you still have that going on? And what all, I guess what I'm going to say is, what all were you left with symptom-wise? The dust finally settled. And I know we're kind of always recovering, but I mean, your initial, where the dust landed, what did you have to deal with? What kind of therapy did you have, if any, and how long did that take until you were flying solo again?
Well, it was after about a year after my accident, they were finished up with therapy for me, and you know, and they said, well, this is all we can do with you, and I was, you know, I was happy at the time. I was happy. I was like, yes, right. I'm doing it. I'm doing it. I'm good. Got my clean bill of health. And, of course, it probably took me a couple of months, but then I realized that, I wasn't all better. And then I felt kind of ripped off. I'm going, no, wait a second. There's still a long way to go here. I'm not happy with where I'm at. And I decided that I was going to, I understood that I was done with therapy and I was, that it was a case of diminishing returns. You know, you recover really quickly in the beginning, and then as time goes by, your gains are less and less and less, a little bit at a time. But a couple years after my brain injury, at my birthday party, they had a video, and I saw the video, and I was mortified at how my speech was. My speech was still, you could understand me. It gotten to the point where people could understand me, but it was obvious I had some issues, and I was talking very slurred and slow, and it wasn't very clear what I was saying, and so that struck me as the thing that was the worst thing that I had to deal with to get through all this. So I figured, what can I do? And I remembered that when I took German in high school, that it always felt so good when I got out of German and could speak English again, because then I could say what I wanted and I knew the words I needed, and essentially all the problems I was having at the time with my brain injuries. I couldn't pronounce the words, I couldn't say the words I wanted to say, I couldn't put the sentences together in my head. So I said, well, I'll study German again, and when I stop studying German, it'll feel good to speak English again. And so I started, I just would study it for 10 or 15 minutes every day, and that was enough. I kind of call it cross training for language, and that did well enough. And after about a year or 2 years of that, I got good enough with the German that I was losing the advantage of getting back to English. So I switched to Finnish, which is a really difficult language to speak. And I worked on that about 15 minutes a day, 15 to 20 minutes. It was my drive to work. I listened to my tapes and work on them and do the same thing on the way home. And I did that every day for probably 3, maybe 4 years. And that really, really helped with my English when I would stop working with the Finnish and get back to English. It was so much easier.
Yeah, relief, I suppose. That's cool. You had had the experience with the German before, so you could kind of conjugate that thought process into what you were doing.
Right. And, I don't recommend that for everyone. It happens to be, I really love languages and studying them and stuff. So it worked well for me. Mm-hmm. I bring it up as an example of something that I did that worked well for me, and perhaps other things would work well for other people. But that was one thing I did, and I also, when I got out of the hospital and I would start walking, and at first I'd just walk down the street and back, and then a couple blocks, and then a little bit longer. And I finally, after a couple, it was a couple of years, I was at the point where I could walk. I was walking about 5 miles, and I just kept doing that. And eventually, the only thing I didn't like about that was it took so long to do it. So I started running, and I looked really goofy running, but I started what I called running. A little bit at a time, just, half a block, and then I'd walk for ways, and then I'd run for half a block again. And eventually, over time, it got to the point that finally I was running the whole way. And it probably took, I think it was 97 or 98, so almost 10 years before I could run 5 miles. And they had a 5 mile race at work in a company picnic in the summer, and I did that. And I didn't, the Hollywood version was saying I won the race and stuff, but no, I didn't win the race at all. But I did finish at the back of all the people who were seriously trying to run the race. There's a lot, you know, a lot of people just go out to walk the race or run a little bit, and they don't take very seriously. So I was ahead of all them, but I was behind everyone who actually thought they had a chance of winning. But I did it.
But you did finish. Yeah,
I did finish.
Walking down the aisle. You finished. You did it.
Yep, and then 2 years later, there was a 10-mile race here in the Valley, and they called it the Lumberjack Days race, and I ran that. And I did okay in 99 and then, or 2000. And in 2001, I ran it in 92 minutes, which is, I mean, it's not going to impress anyone who's good at, who knows people that are good at running, but I felt I did pretty good because I still wasn't, my leg was still felt numb. It was still kind of out of it. A little kind of goofy strut I made when I run. But,
you know, that's another thing about the people here in this audience, and that's that, you know, there isn't any comparison to the people who are regular, avid runners. Everyone here knows what an incredible thing, miracle and grace, combination of very hard work and determination it was, you know, just to walk down the aisle, just to even have the will to be in these races and to finish them at all. You know, there's applause going out in the audience, I'm sure. That's another place where there's a lot of understanding here. So, you know, there isn't any comparison except the difference between the person who lays down and doesn't even try and then the person like you who gets up and not only tries but finishes that race. So, you know, our hats off to you.
You know, and it's thank you for saying that. And at the same time, I know that one thing so much is so hard now with the brain injury that I can't with a straight, honestly tell somebody who has a brain injury and stuff that, you know, they say, well, this is just too hard and it's not worth it. I can't tell them, no, it's worth it. Go for it. Do it. Because I'm not in their shoes and I don't know what challenges they have. You know, and I put out as much effort as I could, and I got back just enough to keep me going. And I've seen people who work harder than me who have no hope of getting anywhere. And I feel so humbled when they keep trying. Because I see them
yes.
And going, man, I had so given up long ago. You know, my hats are off to those people, for people who just keep trying. You know, I'm lucky that I work as hard as these other people do, and I actually get results. And I was going to say
that that's made it easier for you to keep going because you've seen the results. So I understand what you mean. So were you okay? So that recovery was really an intensive, ongoing recovery. Obviously, your speech came back.
Yes.
And your vision?
And my vision is still, I've spent a couple of years recently doing, I never had vision therapy, never even heard of vision therapy, and somebody completely separate from any brain injury circle or something, I met someone who was involved on her own, had become found out about vision for a completely different issue for vision therapy, and she said, maybe this would work for you. So I did that for about 2 years, and it actually helped quite a bit. There was, this long after my brain injury, I should have been doing it right from the get-go to see to really make significant changes. I went at it with the same attitude, I just put everything into it and for 2 years. And I wouldn't say, I didn't quit like, oh, this isn't working. It was helping. And now I've redirected my energies in other directions. So I'm not still pursuing it. I've only got so much energy to do so many things. And I wasn't getting a lot. I was gaining ground, but I wasn't getting a lot of results for my effort. And I didn't see myself getting where I would like to be. So I didn't say never again, but I decided some other things I want to accomplish right now.
One of those things was writing. Maybe, actually, I should first say, when did you become aware that there was some kind of alliance or association or support group or whatever we want to frame it as for a moment before we go on and tell how it really was? At what point in your recovery did you become aware of a support group?
Well,
was that?
It was apparently when I went home from the hospital, there was some information. There's a pile of papers they give you when you go, but it was in there, and my wife had seen it, but I never noticed it. And about 2 years after my accident, when I was back at work and stuff, but I became depressed, and I knew it was because I knew that something was wrong because it wasn't the way I normally thought about things. Normally, I can talk myself up and get myself going again, and I just fall in these deep funks. And so, I did two things. I got a hold of the brain injury. At the time, it was called the Association. Now it's the Alliance. I got a hold of them and talked to some people there, and they told me, you should talk to this name of someone in my area that I could go talk to. And I went on antidepressants, and I really dislike taking any kind of drugs for anything. But I know that the way that it works with antidepressants is you need to take them, keep taking them, and, don't stop until the doctor says, okay, you're good. So, and if you stop early, you'll just lapse, and then you'll just drag the whole thing out much longer. And I said, no, I'll do what I got to do to get through this. So I did that, and it took about a year. And then they weaned me off them, and I was fine after that. But I became depressed when it occurred to me that I wasn't going to come bouncing back and amaze everyone and be perfectly fine, just like before. And it was going to be real work.
Oh, yeah. I think that's usual. I mean, I've talked before about the grief process, and when we were accustomed to the old me and life pulls the rug out from under us, and we don't fit in our old shoes anymore, but we haven't quite grown into the new ones, or we've gotten to a point where, like you said, the strides of growth aren't as big as they were in the beginning, so they're easier to miss and maybe a little more frustrating. I think most people go through a bout of depression as a stage of the grief of letting go of the old me and coming to accept the new me. So again, I don't think that there's any shame in that. A lot of I went through that. I know a lot of other people in the audience went through it, some with medication, some not. But you do what you need to do. It's amazing
it's
that you were off of it in 1 year.
I know, and I wanted to mention that because sometimes when I start talking about all the things I've done, it makes it sound like it was like I never doubted myself or never had any real issues. But, you know, I did go spend a year on medication because I was, you know, depressed over my situation. And there were not only just hurdles to overcome, but I mean, I had moments of doubt. I didn't know I was going to be able to run 5 miles. I didn't know, you know, any of these things that I was going to actually improve my speech. I had to do something, but I didn't know. I despaired at many points in time. But like anyone who, I'm sure many of the listeners here who've been successful with things, you just keep at it. And the secret weapon, or what I always call the superpower you get with brain injury, is indomitable will, and it's putting things in a routine. Routine is everything.
Yes.
You'll often hear, you know, a lot of people say, "Oh, routine is so dull and boring, and the same thing," and I'm saying, no, you don't get it. With a brain injury, you're confused, you're uncertain, you've got this kind of anxious, sickening, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing, feeling so often. And yet when you get a routine, you're going, okay, it's Thursday at 2. Thursday at 2, I do this. And suddenly you've got control and you know where you're going and you can prosecute your day with effectiveness, with celerity and right to dress. And that is such an amazing feeling. I go, that is, people say you're stuck in a rut. I say, no, I'm in the groove, man. This is what works for me, you know? And so, you know, when I say, I know my own limits. So, you know, when I say I studied a language for 15, 20 minutes a day, I couldn't do it for an hour, hour and a half. That'd kill me. But I can do it for 15 or 20 minutes. But if I do it every day, that's over 90 hours in a year. And I go, man, imagine spending 90 hours on focused concentration working on something. You can get a lot done if you could actually work for 90 hours straight. But you spread it out 15 minutes a day, it's no problem. You know, and it was always...
Yeah.
And it was always... There would be one thing that bothered me a lot about my brain injury, and that would be the thing that I said, okay, I'm going to fix this. You know, this is my speech. I'm going to deal with this. And because I put it in my routine, and then I was doing something about it, and that I could relax about it. I just, every day I just do this, and I didn't really focus on on any gains or losses. I just did that every day. And it sounds like work and determination, but it was, you know, like I was saying, when you get into a routine, you're going, okay, this is, I do this now.
Yes.
And the more routines I could find, the more time I spent in the day knowing what I had to be doing and what I was supposed to be doing, as opposed to like suddenly tonight you have to call into a radio show. But, so that I did some other. My handwriting is really. It was my handwriting was bad before my accident, and it's still pretty abominable. And likewise, I always wanted to draw, but I could never draw. And I saw this book in the bookstore one day, and it's called Drawing on the Right Side of the Brain, which is actually, if you're into drawing, it's a pretty popular book, I found out. But anyway, I said, I bet if I just worked at this for 15 minutes every day, I could draw when I got done with that book. I'll go through, I'll do everything they say, all the exercises, all the routines, because I could see just leafing through it. There was a bunch of exercises and stuff. And so I set up a time every day when I would go and I would just spend 15, 20 minutes working my way through that book. And it took me about a year and a half, but by the time I was done, I could draw. I could, if I drew someone's picture, it was pretty obvious who it was.
Really?
Yeah, and so it was what I never got to. They always talk about people who like to draw. It's a certain wonderful feeling. It's almost like an addiction. They have to draw. People that are really into drawing draw all the time, and they're always drawing and that kind of stuff. And it never got enjoyable for me. It was always a lot of work and concentration, and it was never easy.
Still, what I find amazing about that is two things. I'm sorry, keep your point if you can. Is number one, a lot of people that we talk to on here go through a period of artistic expression in their recovery. And I think that's amazing. The other thing is that I can't draw a straight line with a ruler, so I thought the talent to be able to draw or paint or do something like that. Like, I take pictures and I write, you know, there are some artistic things I can do, but like I said, I can't draw a straight line with a ruler. So the fact that you were able to teach yourself to be able to draw and to draw a likeness, I find incredible, even if you didn't like it and you canned the whole thing and went on to the next. That's pretty cool that you could not have that innate talent but be able to cultivate it and to make it happen. That's really cool. So for all you people out there like me who think you can't draw a straight line with a ruler and you haven't been able to 50 plus years, if you really wanted to sit down and focus, apparently you can learn to do something like that.
I was daring them to be right when I saw that book, because it was kind of the thing in that book is it's just, you know, anybody can draw. You just
What was the name of that?
It's called Drawing on the Left Side of the Brain or Drawing on the Right Side of the Brain. I don't remember which. I can't remember which side. But,
okay, well, it's drawn somewhere in the brain. All right.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, and it's an awesome book, and it's cool. Like I say, you just do a little bit. Just say, okay, every day at this time, I'm gonna. It doesn't do me any good to set things up or say weekly I do this,
mm-hmm.
because I don't. Doesn't work as well for me. It's much easier for me to say every day I do this. You know, for 15,
yes.
20 minutes. If you say an hour, you're never going to find an hour to do it. And it's just not going to work. But you can always.
Absolutely.
15 minutes? I can do 15 minutes. Even the days you don't feel like doing it, you just go, okay, 15 minutes. I'll do it for 15 minutes. So
I think that's a really important point. Somebody was commenting in the chat room about getting frustrated about doing things. And, you know, when things seem overwhelming to me, like too big, you know, I don't want to do them. But the way I learned is just what you're talking about, to take it in bite-sized pieces. And then that bite-sized piece, that 15 minutes you're talking about, that is not overwhelming. You know, the 3 or 5 or 12 or however many hours it's going to take to bring a task, you know, a task from the beginning to the end, that can be so overwhelming, it'll make you run the other direction. But if you take it a day at a time, a minute at a time, a small block of time, and you're just in that block of time, then I think, you know, the wind gets taken out of that overwhelming feeling, and you can do it, and it's empowering, because with each 15-minute block that you accomplish, you know, you've done it, as opposed to having a big project, getting overwhelmed, and then feeling like you failed. You're succeeding a little bit at a time, and then before you know it, the whole thing is done, and you've just bitten it off in pieces that you could cope with.
Exactly, you know, and there's two things I wanted to talk about tonight before I go.
And, please.
And one of them is yoga. Everyone's got their thing they do, say, this is what works. And for me, it's yoga. My wife started taking some yoga classes in 99, and she said, you should take these. And I said, I can't do yoga. My balance is terrible. And I'm not very flexible and stuff. And she's like, well, that's why you want to take it, And I discovered that, yeah, you balance is like a muscle, and you exercise it and work it, and you get better at it. You can't see it. You know, a tightrope walker, if you could see it, would be huge, muscle-bound, or, you know, balance-bound person, but you can't see how overdeveloped their sense of balance is. So I started, and I did the same thing, you know. It was like, okay, I'm going to practice at home for 15 minutes a day, and I go to classes, hour-long classes, three times a week, and I just started doing that. And I did notice eventually that, you know, my balance was getting better, and my flexibility was getting better. One thing I did not count on, and I think it's the biggest reason to do it, was probably about 2 years after that, and my wife and I realized, my wife said to me, you haven't lost your temper in a long time. And I'm going, you're right. And it's one of the things with yoga is that it helps you reach a certain calm state and mental. It's all about, all yoga is all about mental discipline and mental control, which, of course, it's really hard if you're brain injured. In yoga, they call it monkey mind, where your mind is all over everywhere, and you can't focus on one thing very long. In yoga, you're practicing, you're holding a pose, and it's a little off balance, and you got to be breathing at the right time, and it's enough concentration keeps you focused, but if you stop focusing, you fall over.
Still can't do that. I agree with you about yoga, the mindfulness and the breathing and the slowing down the pace. I could do the strength ones, but the balance ones, I can't do it all.
Well, I tell you, you know, I'm actually, a couple of years after I started yoga, I became a certified instructor. And so I've been pretty serious in yoga for almost 15 years now, and I'm not going to impress anybody if they see me do yoga, because I can't, just some very basic balance poses that I just cannot do without flailing around, you know.
I think you're right, though. Yoga is great. It does help, especially that tension and that mood. We do have a couple of callers that want to ask you questions, but you said that you had two things that you wanted to talk about, and I want to make sure that you tell about, is your book one of them, or do you mean three things?
Yeah, my writing, I realize people are probably falling asleep trying to stay up late enough, so I'll be as brief as I can, concise. I would get the newsletter, and it was interesting. There were good things in it and stuff, but I didn't feel like it was really written for me. There was nothing in there that said, okay, this is for the brain injured people. So I, rather than call and complain, I wrote what I'd like to read and sent it in. And I wrote this thing saying, you know, this is what I hate about brain injury. This is why it sucks. And they printed it, and they got a lot of good responses from it. So, well, they printed it, and then it's thank you and stuff. And then a few months later, I had another idea, and I wrote another one. And I said, okay, now I've covered everything with this one. And I sent that into them, and they printed that, and that had a good response. And they said, this is great, you know, we want to give you a column to write.
Now, this is the Brain Injury Alliance. I just want to clarify that. I might not have heard
Minnesota.
It in... Yeah, okay.
Yes, yeah, so Minnesota. And they offered me this column, and I'm thinking, I wrote everything there is to say about brain injury. I've written both articles now. What else do they want? But I had 3 months to do it. So, and I something else came up, and I wrote about that. And then I kept it for the longest time. I kept thinking, okay, I don't know what else I'm going to write about now. and then eventually, it shifted over into, oh, well, I can write endlessly on this. Because I can write the same sort of things that anyone else who writes essays or columns in a paper writes, except mine are whatever theirs are, but with a brain injury. And so, I've been facilitating support groups since the middle 90s, and things always come up, and I just keep little notes and saying, yeah, I could write about that. Yeah, I could go on about that. And when I write, I don't write like an advice column, because that gets really tedious to read. I'm not that stuck on myself. I what works with I write and I say, you know, this is a hard thing about brain injury, or you know, this, you ever have this happen, or I'll say the things I've done that have worked for me. I'm not saying you should do this, but this is what I did, and this is why it worked for me, and this is what I found hard about it, or something will just come up, but I'll say, you know, I saw this movie and it was. Brain injury people have this problem too. People with brain injury have this problem, and so now I'm at the point where, you know, I've written over 200 essays, and I'm getting to the point now when I write, I'm going, have I already written about this again? You know, and I don't know, and I'm back in school now, and I'm getting my lit degree. And some of the writing classes I've had, they really want to hear about my brain injury, but it's hard for me to explain it to them, because I'm very good at explaining to brain injured people what it's like.
Yeah.
Because there's certain assumptions and things that we all know with brain injury.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a different language if you're going to tell that to other people.
Yes.
And it's actually, my articles are really good for people who are caregivers of people with brain injuries, because I'm very good at explaining. That's another thing people like when they read it. They go, hey, mom, hey, honey, look at this. This is what I'm talking about. You know, so that works. But for people who have no experience with brain injury whatsoever, and I start talking and I drop. So that I don't get boring or tedious, I assume a certain amount of knowledge. And they're saying, you know, wait, what are you talking about? What do you mean? And I've just been talking about it for 25 years now so often that there's certain things I just don't go into anymore.
Right.
So now to try to reach out to the rest of the world, I'm trying to back away from the writing just for brain injury people and focus more on writing to a non-brain injured audience to try to bring the message out.
Now tell us the name of your first book, because I'm going to back up just a moment and say, and then I have a quick question for you. And audience, thank you for your patience. I will get you on in the order that you called. So DJ, I'll get you in just a minute. And Frank, you were next. And we don't want to wear out our guest. I told him an hour, but he's got so many good things to say. Tell them the name of your first book, which is a compilation of those columns, those first columns when you were writing about your brain injury, sharing your strength and hope.
Yes, the book is called Meditations on Brain Injury.
And you can find that at Lash Publishing is one of the places. This will be a good time for me to thank the sponsor of my show, Lash Publishing, who puts out many great books. But
they have so much good stuff. Yeah, they do.
They do, but Mike's is a great book. So if you have trouble finding it, they have a search window. And if you just go to lapublishing.com and type in Strand, STRAND, it'll bring his book right up and you can see it. So I encourage you to do that. Now, what about your next project?
Okay, I've got my second book, which is just more essays, and it's available as an ebook now on Amazon. If you put in Mike Strand, brain injury, or Mike Strand expanded consciousness, you can get all that down.
Mike Strand,
it's actually a fairly common name, but you put Mike Strand brain injury, you'll get the old version of my first book. There's like maybe 5 copies left in stock at Amazon. And then they also have the connection to my ebook. And my ebook is only, I think it's only $1.99. So if you have computer access and can get, you know, they have a free reader you can just download to read the Amazon books on your computer. I'm assuming if you're listening to the show, you've got a computer. And so if you want an ebook, it's just $1.99, and you got it right now when you order it. So that's pretty cool. But they're going to come out with a hard copy version here pretty quick. So
now tell me again, because I had my cap lock stuck and I fixed it. I'm typing in the chat room, Mike Strand, ebook on Amazon, and you called it the title?
Expanded Consciousness.
Thank you. Okay, there we go. Mike Strand, ebook on Amazon, Expanded Consciousness, soon to be coming out in a paperback?
In paperback form, yep.
Great. Okay. Super, so you've got 2 publications out.
Yes.
Great.
Yes, I do. I'm pretty excited. It's always been my dream, and you know, ever since I was a little kid, I've been pretty good at writing. I'm going, someday I'm going to write a book, and so now I've written a book. But everybody's written a book, so okay, now I've written 2 books. How many people have written 2 books?
Well, you guys are putting pressure on me. My guest a couple weeks ago was on his 3rd, and I've written 1, and I tell you, I could write a 2nd easily from what happened in the year after my first book came out. It changed my life. From the vantage point that I wrote the first one to a year later, but now I'm talking all the time, and I don't have enough time to write. So one of these days, that second book's going to come, because you guys keep turning up the heat under my
bun. Right.
So I'm going to have to focus that 15 minutes at a time. I can't even get my 250 words written for Lash Publishing, for God's sake, to get my book on their site. So
there you go. 15. All you need is 15 minutes a day. Maybe you only get one or two words out, but just 15 minutes a day until finally it'll be done.
Good Lord, I'm going to do that tomorrow. I'm going to set it at 15 minutes and start on that 250 words, for Pete's sake. I can't believe it. You're guilting me out over here. But
you hit a roll, you hit a stride. I mean, I say 15 minutes because that's what I tell myself going into it. But if I hit a stride or something, I might be doing it for 45 minutes, you know. I was telling myself, okay, I'll do this radio interview for 15 minutes. I can do this.
Well, you want to know how mine was. I waited 17 years to write my book, and then I got on that roll you were talking about. I didn't eat, sleep, or move from the time I knew I was going to write a book. I sat down and wrote it in 2 weeks. So it took me 17 years and 2 weeks to write my book.
I like that. It took me 17 years and 2 weeks.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, yeah. Let's go talk to some of the guests here. I imagine they're getting antsy.
Let's do it. And DJ, you had your hand up before. Were you going to call back in? But in the meantime, while you're thinking about that and responding, I'm going to put Fantastic Frank on the phone, and he's our Thursday night host. Frank, meet Mike.
Hi, Mike. You are an inspiration to me because I was trapped in a fire 33 years ago. On the way to a hospital, they inserted a trach tube damaging my voice box, which makes me very self-conscious and aware of my different. I say I'm differently abled, not disabled. And so how did you get, how long was you without the voice? I don't think I got that, because I got in here about 5 or 10 minutes late to the show.
Well, for one thing, Frank, you may not be aware of this, but we're friends on LinkedIn. And I've seen your stuff on LinkedIn, and I went to your site and I saw your speaking videos and stuff, and it's you're an inspiration to me, because I'm getting into speaking, and I'm looking at different ways different people do it, and I really, wow, you got just a great program, the way the whole thing's put together.
Thank you for saying that. I have to work with various other people, though, because my new website was designed by a woman. I had to pay her to do that. I have to pay people to follow my social media and stuff like that. And nothing comes easy without a price. I'm just saying that.
That's true. That is so true. Now, when you're asking about my speaking.
Yes.
I would say it was probably about 2 years after my accident when I saw the video for my birthday party, and I was mortified. It mortified me because I'd always had always been well spoken and had a lot of pride in that, and I was just assuming I was still well spoken, and when I saw it myself, I'm like, oh my God, I sound like that? And it really struck pretty deep into my core, and I was just, what can I do about this? And so I I remembered after German class in high school how wonderful it felt to walk out of the classroom and be speaking English again, and I could pronounce everything, and I knew what the words were that I wanted. And then I thought to myself, well, that's exactly the problem I have now. I can't pronounce things, and I don't know the words I want and stuff. So I said, well, I'll study German again. And then when I get done studying it, 15 minutes or so a day, when I get done studying it, English will seem so much easier. And it's kind of cross-training for languages, because when you're speaking another language, you're making sounds and stuff that just don't occur in English. And so it's, like I said, it's kind of cross-training for the language. And then eventually I got good enough with the German that I was losing that feeling, because it wasn't, not that learning German, at one time when I'm studying these languages, I can get pretty good with them, but I lose it so quick because my memory is shot. It's a fool's errand to try and learn another language with, for me anyway, with the brain injury. My English does get better because you work at trying to pronounce things in another language. Suddenly it sounds much easier. It seems much easier to pronounce it in English. And that was my theory. That's what I operated on, and that's what worked for me.
Well, thank you. Thank you for telling me about you had hand problems too, didn't you? Or movement?
Yeah, well, a lot of people will have, the left side or the right side is kind of not working. For me, it was my left side. My left leg felt like it was full of water, like it was asleep, except it didn't tingle. It just felt kind of dead and heavy. And my left hand tingled, and it still tingles sometimes now, like when I've been holding the phone. I'm left-handed. I've been holding the phone for this whole interview, and now I just switched hands, and I'm like, yep, my hand feels like it's about 15 pounds heavier than it normally would be.
Well, Mike, I've written my own book too, which is being published. It's now available. It's available on Amazon.com. I just found out before I got on the show tonight. And I'm going to be talking some more about that tomorrow night, but that when the idea came up for this book, I gave 10 talks, which were videotaped. And in these talks, my hands were moving so wildly and wildly gesticulating, and I was appalled by that. So at one of these talks, I tried to control that by holding two bottles of water, one in each hand. My hand, they still move, so I threw them down. I said, my God, this isn't going to be any better. But that was so funny. Thank you for being here. And
I wrote down Frank's information, because I want to get his book, because I really, like I said, he really impressed me with what he's done so far. So
thank you.
Thank you, Frank, for calling in. I just have. Are you okay with one more for me to ask you one more question, real quick?
Okay, one, and that's it. No, I don't care. That's fine.
No, I know.
Thank you for asking.
I'd let
you
go
before. Thank you for asking. You're very polite.
Well, I kind of told you an hour, and we're going on an hour and a half, and your arms are going numb. But I was just curious, because it's been a topic of conversation on here before. And that's, this Brain Injury Association versus Brain Injury Alliance. And when we talked before, I knew that you had been writing a column for a long time. I knew that's where your book came from. I didn't know that you were involved with all the support groups and everything. But when you started that writing, was it the association or the alliance?
The association. It just became an alliance a year ago, 2 years ago, something like that. It was, and the reason I was on the board of the association for 6 years, and this change happened after I was off the board, but it was, I could see it coming because it's just two different styles. In at least in Minnesota, it was the association focused more on advocacy and the political level of affecting change that way, and the alliance focuses more on on helping people directly.
Okay, and that's what I kind of wanted to know. It sounded like the associations to me, and we don't have anything active like that. We didn't in 95 when I had my deal. We still don't. And from what I've seen as an observer on here, it appears like the associations are more advocacy and awareness, and that some of these alliances are more focused on what we're trying to do here, which is peer-to-peer support.
Yeah, and it's in Minnesota, we never really, we didn't change, but the association kind of started going off in another direction.
Yes.
And it wasn't critical. If there had never been an alliance, we'd have been fine just like we were. And we still, you know, it's not that we don't, we have a public policy director at the association, and he's an incredible job. His name is Jeff Nackbar, and he's really an amazing voice. So we're fortunate to have him. And we have a very nice funding source through the state of Minnesota. And, of course, anything like that's always at risk. Somebody else
yes.
wants to get their hands on it or something, and we still get it. So we get a certain amount of money from drunk driving what do they call it now? Now I'm just getting late. I can't think. When you're trying to get your license back after you've lost it.
Like reinstated?
Yes. The fee to do that, part of that fee goes to the Brain Injury Association or the Alliance of Minnesota. And that's brought us in one stroke from being very hand-to-mouth and having half our staff work volunteer to being a really major organization, and now we have dozens of employees.
Wow.
And we're able to do a lot of the things that we apparently the Minnesota Association and now Alliance is kind of one of the models that most state organizations look towards, because whatever's going down, we've got it going down in Minnesota. We actually staff the when you call them, they've got a 24-hour 1-800 number.
Mm-hmm.
The national does, but that's actually staffed out of Minnesota. We have someone
really
24 hours a day. Yeah.
Wow, that's fantastic. You know, I had another guest from Montana, and he was on the board of their Brain Injury Association, and then it changed to an alliance, and it sounds like he's doing a lot of what you're doing. So that's awesome. You know, it's awesome that we're getting more peer-to-peer involvement. Like I said, that's what we're trying to do here and with our 24/7 soon peer-to-peer support line, and I'm really glad to hear that these new alliances are incorporating that, because, you know, someone like me who went 17 years and still a newcomer in Omaha now doesn't have anything like that. So
no,
bless
was,
your heart
you know,
for doing it.
It's so interesting to it was a fight for us to get this in Minnesota, but we finally got it. And this was something that Jeff did through legislation, was we got a brain injury registry put in at the hospitals. So the hospitals contact the association or the alliance whenever they have someone in there with a brain injury. So that the alliance can contact them while they're in the hospital. And then they do it at 6 months out and 12 months out and 18 months out. Just call up and say, how's it going? How are things doing? Do you need
that
anything?
That is just wonderful. Yeah. That's the best case scenario I've heard out of any
of
these.
I know. And it was, like I said, it was, you know, that's the sort of, you know, in that's the sort of thing that really makes a difference, I think, for people. I'm going, and we also put together a mentoring program where you can call in and ask for a mentor and you'll get paired up with somebody who's several years out. I've mentored for people. And then
you know,
once a month you call them and just talk.
Wow, that is really fantastic. You know, Mike, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to have you come back again and maybe talk a little more about peer-to-peer support and the alliances and the mentor program and some of these other things that you're into. And maybe by that time, your next book will be coming out. And so you'll be able to tell us about that. In fact, why don't you let me know when that next publication comes out, and I'll have you come back and we'll do a plug for your new book, and then we will have you talk a little bit more about these things, because I know I promised you an hour, and I know that we all get tired, so I'm going to cut you loose, because that particular topic, you know, could take us another hour, and I don't want to do that to you. But we'll make that a
right.
separate show when your new book comes out to celebrate that. And by then, hopefully, I'll have my 250 words written. But and be showing
so,
up on that last site with you.
Do you have anyone who's still alive and hanging on the phone? I don't want to cut people off.
No. In fact, I think that you answered a few people's questions as we were talking. They were mentioning it in the chat room. So
that is so nice to have that go along with the chat room, because people, especially with a brain injury, it's hard to remember what you were going to say and then also be listening to the conversation. So what do? And that you've got this side conversation going on where people are talking about things and listening to what I'm saying and then talking on the chat room and stuff. I think that's just awesome.
It is. It is really awesome, but it takes that focus you were talking about. It's not easy to be a host, but we're really blessed to be able to try and to be getting to do this and having guests like you. And so in any case, and his name is Mike. That's why you couldn't find Mark, Frank. He's Mike Strand. Again, I'd like to thank my guest tonight, Mike Strand, and have you check out his ebook on Amazon. And definitely go to Lash Publishing. That's lapublishing.com. And if you have trouble finding his book, just type Strand, S-T-R-A-N-D, into the search window, and his current book will pop up. And pretty soon we'll be seeing something new, too, and then we'll have Mike back with us. Thanks so much for being here tonight, Mike.
You're very welcome. I enjoyed it a lot. I can't wait to come back. This is great.
Good. Well, we can't wait to have you back either. So, hands. And So make sure to get a hold of me when that new book comes out.
Will do, will do.
All righty. Thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Now.
Okay, everybody. That was Mike Strand. Again, you can find his book on Amazon, his ebook, or you can find his compilation book of his essays, which is really great, at Lash Publishing. And while I'm talking about that, I want to encourage you all, and I'm sorry if my mic is breaking up a little bit tonight. Still breaking up, huh? Well, good thing we'll be going to the music, or I'll be unmuting for you callers. So anybody who wants to call in now, by the way, the number is 424-243-9540. And we will get overtime in about 20 minutes listening to some indie musicians, and we have a new one tonight. We have a new one, another new one, that's going to be on the board next week. So if you're liking hearing these new musicians, be sure to stick around. We also break up that music if you have questions and want to talk on a more informal basis. We do that too. So again, you might want to think about calling in 424-243-9540. And thank you, Sarah, for typing that into the chat room for everybody to see there. One of the things I wanted to remind you guys of is that at Lash Publishing, again, that's LA Publishing.com magazine in April called Brain Injury Journey Magazine. And it pretty soon. And the e-version of this magazine is free. So if you do go to lapublishing.com and you look over on the left-hand side to where it says Brain Injury Products, the very first thing at the top of the list is Brain Injury Journey Magazine. And thank you, Sarah. And if you click on that, again, the first thing over on your left, Brain Injury Journey Magazine, if you click on that, it'll take you to a page that says, click here for the free e-version. Now, don't get confused. They do have a hard copy subscription that you can pay for, but the e-version is absolutely free. So I strongly encourage you to check that out. You can't beat the price, that's for sure. And seemed like there was one other thing I wanted to tell you about that. Yes, the tip cards. A lot of you have heard of tip cards, and they're on sale through August 31st. So you can save 20% on single tip cards and over 50% when you order 100 or more. So if you're into those tip cards, check that out. They have a veteran section. And I will tell you now, my guest next week is named Jasmine Booth. And she founded an organization called FinalSaluteInc.org. She is active military in the Army. She did not have a TBI, but she did have cancer of the neck, throat, and head, and we'll get more clarity on that head. But what her organization is about is that there's 55,000 women veterans on any given day who are homeless. And Jasmine started this organization to help those people and to try to raise the awareness and the advocacy. She was recently on Katie Couric and CNN. I think I posted that CNN interview on Brain Injury Radio's Facebook page and on my In a Flash Facebook page. You can check that out there. But hopefully you will tune in. That's the week before the 4th of July. So I thought that would be a good time to have Jazz on the show. And I think it'll be a very good show. And I thought of that because I was just looking on the Lash site at the veteran books, of which they have many. And they also have veteran PTSD cards on this tip card sale through August 31st. So hopefully you guys will tune in next week and listen to Jasmine and check out Mike's book. He was sure a great guest. And if I have anyone who wants to call in now, we'll just, if you have any questions or comments about Mike's interview or how your day's going or anything you'd like to say, please call in 424-243-9540. Again, I want to thank our Brain Injury Radio sponsor, Gordon Johnson of TBILaw.com. If you have any litigation issues that have to do with your brain injury, then certainly check him out at TBILaw.com. What are tip cards? Tip cards, and I haven't actually gotten these, but they help you relearn. And I'll have a guest on. In fact, I have a guest coming on in the next couple weeks who's going to talk to us about tip cards. But if you want to get a tip on tip cards before you hear about tip cards, check it out on their website, lapublishing.com. And let's see, we have about 15 minutes left in the regular portion of our show, and then we'll be rolling over into overtime, which is also recorded. I'd like to remind everyone out in the audience, if you came in late to the show and you want to listen to it, or you're just hanging around in the daytime, maybe feeling some of those blues that Mike was talking about, all of our shows are archived and put in the on-demand section shortly after we go off the air. So Blog Talk Radio programs with all of the hosts are available 24/7 to you. Live, we're on every night at the same time, same phone number, different host. But you can certainly hear those recorded interviews, and we encourage you to do so. I think what I will do, let's see, 15 minutes. Nobody has a question. Well, you do have a question. You have tip questions. But, well, let me see here. I'm not going to be able to tell you that in 15 minutes. But one thing that I can tell you, tip cards. Find practical, let's see. No. It does say they're the leading source of these tip cards, but traumatic brain injury symptoms, treatment, rehabilitation, and recovery. Leading source of information and training on brain injury, blast injury, and PTSD in children, adolescents, adults, and veterans. And these tip cards look like they will show things like words and different things that you're trying to relearn, whether it's to treat PTSD or speech, a lot of different symptoms of TBI. They have these sets of tip cards. You can buy them individually or in sets, and they address a number of issues about TBI and PTSD, but like I said, we'll be having a guest on who creates some of those tip cards. I think in three weeks, actually, that person's going to be on. So we'll all tune in and we'll all know everything about tip cards at that time. Don't want to give away all of the information tonight, but I'm looking for the closing for my show. But first, he's on the board and he doesn't have his hand up, but I got a couple minutes to kill. Les Paul, how you doing tonight?
I'm here. I've been listening the whole time. I'm really tired. That's why I didn't call in. And plus, I talk so often, I wanted to give other people a chance. I'm sorry I didn't speak with your guest because he's a very good guest, and I was just fatigued, beyond fatigued, when he was talking. This has been a really long day, but a good day. And so I'm excited to hear what he was telling. And, mm-hmm. you know, I've been involved with both Brain Injury Association and Brain Injury Alliance, and it's been a long time since we were a Brain Injury Alliance. I saw good and bad about both of them. I wish they could get the best out of both and combine them and make them into one super organization.
Wouldn't that be great? Now, you went the other way, though. My guest from Montana and then Mike from Minnesota, they both had an association first that turned into an alliance. And you're saying you went the other way, or
yes.
were you just...
We were an alliance first, and Susan Connors, the president of the Brain Injury Association, came to South Carolina a good two or three times at least. I'm forgetting exactly how many times. And she challenged us to become an association, saying that we need to be a united force. That's what she was saying then. I'm not just saying it to say it. That we need to become associations, and so that we can all be in unison. And I don't remember all the statistics and things that were different about the two. I enjoyed listening to him explain it, that they were more about advocacy, and the other one, if I remember correctly, the association is more about the awareness. I'm big into advocacy. I believe advocacy is one of the biggest things we need to spread the word before you think about this being just an association. But they came to South Carolina, and we had a three-day conference, and she said, now everyone, you're an alliance. Now we need you to become an association. And we worked hard for 3 years with our awareness and prevention committees. South Carolina has a very good committee, and there's a lot of brain injury survivors involved in it. And we worked really hard, and it took about 3, maybe 4 years before we became an association. The one thing that might make ours better than I've heard other people say theirs is because we had to struggle to get to where we were instead of just become one, since we've been both. Does that make any sense?
Yes, absolutely.
I was there in Columbia at many meetings in person, and we also do a monthly over-the-phone awareness and prevention meetings, and we talk about what each support group in the entire state is doing. Well, if we're not there in person, we either do it on the phone or in person, and I've done both, and I like being there in person, but it's something like 73 miles to Columbia, South Carolina, where I live, and that's where the meetings are, where the Brain Injury Association of South Carolina's headquarters. But every so often, I like to go down there and meet with people right there in person to remind them that we are there as survivors and not just people talking about brain injury. So I'm interested in knowing more. I can't wait to have him on again. It's a lot to take
me
in.
Either.
And it's very unique the way I've gotten to see it from both sides.
Yes, it is. I think that's... Yes, can you hear me now?
I can. I thought I lost you for a second.
Oh, no. And you're right, and we'll resume this. Thank you for helping me get up to the point where I can close the show. So I'm gonna come back and grab you in a few minutes.
Okay.
Thank you for your help. Okay. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening tonight. Again, last call, if you want to do overtime, 424-243-9540. What that will get you is music. and dial in. You can fall asleep to this music, Sarah. Anyway, I want to thank Frank, Keith Anthony, Les Paul, Sarah, DJ, and the guests that were in the chat room tonight. I want to thank everybody else for listening. And if I see you on the other side of the hour, that will be great. Otherwise, we'll see you next week, and I'm going to close the show in the usual way, and that's something that I believe we all have, and that is a guardian angel. This is Guardian Angel by Leah West. I encourage you to check her out at leahwest.com. Good night, everybody, and we'll see you in 4 minutes and 45 seconds if you're staying. That was Leah West with Guardian Angel, and we are officially in overtime. So, what's going on, Keith Anthony? I can't make your... There you go. How are you doing tonight, Keith Anthony?
Fine, I'm okay. Yeah, how are you? You all right?
Yeah, pretty good. After a rocky start to the show, I think it turned out good. That was really bad. For those of you who weren't here earlier, my guest wasn't here. And here, I'm going to unmute. My guest wasn't here, and I decided to try to call him, and I was really grateful that I happened to have his number in my cell phone, because most of what we've been doing is emailing, and that was going to be in my computer on the other side of the house. And I did the right thing. I put on a song, and I dialed the guy's number, and I was telling him he needed to be on the show, and Keith Anthony private messaged me that I had forgotten to mute my mic. So at least that came in handy later. You know, when he forgot something, we could definitely relate. When he brought up his memory and forgetting the show, at least I had something to contribute. So I'll act like I did that on purpose to make the guest feel right at home. Not true. You caught me. Thank you. I wish you would have caught me just a hair sooner, or I would have read it a hair sooner.
No, it wasn't too bad. It wasn't too loud. So we couldn't get the juicy details of what you were discussing. So your secrets, whatever they were, are still safe.
Darn.
Oh, good. Good, good, good. I said, Mike, were you planning on calling into the show? We're 7 minutes into it. And he said he had lost track of time. I said, do you have a paper? I'll give you the number real quick. And, that was about all there was to it. I just waited till he got the piece of paper. I believe in, and I think you've helped me with this, Keith Anthony, I was calm. I was very calm, so it didn't take a lot of words, and it wasn't shrill or panicked or anything. I just said, Mike, this is Kim. And I just kind of didn't say much else. He answered me, and then I said, if you want to get a piece of paper, I'll give you the number, and you can dial in. I put on a song, and we got 3 minutes to get this whooped. So that's what we did, and I'm glad. I think these meditations, you know, the hypnosis, the guided imagery that you do are helping. Even sometimes when I don't remember red, I'm just a little calmer and responding more than reacting, which is not to say that I've got this mastered or anything like that, but I noticed it earlier. You know, in the old days, something like that would happen, and I would have been freaking out.
Well, that works because what I gave you was a post-hypnotic suggestion, so it works whether you think about it or not.
Awesome, and I saw
like driving a car. You don't think about what your feet and hands are doing, do you? But they still do it.
Yeah, there you go. Speaking of that, I watched the great video that Les Paul did for you, for your site, a testimonial, and you did a really good job on that, Les Paul.
I know what you're talking about now.
You are tired, aren't you? What the heck did you do today, boy?
I'm trying to remember. I'm just exhausted. I worked really hard at work, and then when I came home, and then last night when I was with my shows in, I think I didn't sleep much. I think it made me just tired. I'm sorry. I do remember.
It's okay. I know. It was kind of funny that back-to-back our guests, you know, our guests weren't there. That's kind of a weird thing when you're used to your guest being on the switchboard before the show starts. you know, and they're not
typing what,
they're not
what
there.
Last night, with my guest last night, I had his email off by one digit, and it caused him not to get the email. Somebody somewhere got an email with the phone number to call in on, but not him.
Oh, no.
That's why he didn't call me. And he said he was sitting by the phone waiting for me to give him the phone number to call. When I finally remembered, his phone number was sitting in my bedroom right beside where I was at the time.
Wow.
So know those.
Oops. Oh, there you are. Sounded like you faded for a minute. I'm trying to find this new artist on here, and I'll tell you guys after how to get to him. But
okay.
I talked to this guy yesterday, or was it this morning? I have trouble with those two. It seems like only yesterday, and it might have been
morning
or this morning. Yeah, or this morning. This gentleman's name is Kevin Harrison, and I will tell you about him after I play Lost and Found.
Well, I'm not quite lost, but I'm not quite found. My head keeps spinning just around and round as I'm driving through this dead-end town, just trying to figure things out. Cause I came to a crossroads and lost my nerve. Kept on going straight when I should have curved. Headlights coming for me, but I can't swerve round this roadblock of my doubt. So somebody stop me. Somebody make this ride slow down. Yeah, somebody find me. Somebody pick me up from the ground. Cause I've been falling down every mountain that I've climbed. And now I'm stalling. Lord, I need just a little more time to find the answers that I seek. Cause right now I'm feeling weak. So somebody show me. Show me the man that I'm supposed to be. Well, should I be my father? Could I be myself? Should I even bother chasing after wealth? Or should I put my dreams up on the shelf and never find what's inside of me? Cause I'm feeling like I don't belong. I'm feeling like there's one more song that when I try to write it just comes out wrong. Even if I'm right on key, somebody stop me. Somebody make this ride slow down. Yeah, somebody find me. Somebody pick me up from the ground. I've been falling down every mountain that I've climbed. And now I'm stalling. Lord, I need just a little more time to find the answers that I seek. Cause right now I'm feeling weak. Somebody show me. Show me the man that I'm supposed to be. Treading water, I'm tired of losing ground. I'm tired of searching for myself inside the lost and found. I'm tired of keeping quiet. I'm tired of fitting in. I'm ready for the life I'm meant for to finally begin. So somebody stop me. Somebody make this ride slow down. Yeah, somebody find me. Somebody pick me up from the ground. Cause I've been falling right now I'm feeling weak. So somebody show me the man that I'm supposed to be. Yeah, somebody show me the man that I'm supposed to be.
That was Kevin Harrison singing Lost and Found. And interestingly, that's the title of the album, and it's one of his older albums when he was on his own, and that's the one I happened to find called Lost and Found, and I was listening to the cuts on that and found a couple of songs I like, so I ended up getting a hold of Kevin, and he now has a new incarnation. A new band. It's called Broken Compass Society, and I'll type that into the chat. But one thing I'll do before that is, if you like any of the songs I'm playing, they're off of his older album. And well, you can tell how old I am. His older album. You can find him on iTunes and look up Kevin Harrison Lost and Found. Or Kevin Harrison Music, and Lost and Found will come up, and that's where I've taken my music from, although he has offered to let me take anything off of his new band, too, but it's a different sound. It's amazing, you know, just like Craig, you know, was doing spiritual music, and then he kind of went to some, I guess he would call them depressed ballads, you know, the way he describes it is that he was in a bad place, and now he's doing the techno music. So, you know, it's amazing when these guys kind of reinvent themselves into a new style, and that's a little of what they've done on Broken Compass Society. Both very good. I kind of like the Lost and Found myself, but the other ones are all good too. So we want to thank Kevin Harrison for letting me play music on the show. We appreciate that. He started out singing. Where was that cool thing I found someplace? He started out playing like guitar when he was 12. But then he started playing, went on to play, I guess I should say, the bass, the drums, the keyboard, the vocals, wow. And writing his lyrics and his music. So he started when he was 12. I don't know how old he is now. He doesn't look as old as me.
like main band.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of what it was like. Well, on this album I liked, I think he had, you know, he was playing the guitar and singing and probably had some studio musicians, maybe. I don't know. I apologize if that's not right. He was just, the album was called Kevin Harrison, Lost and Found. So now he's going by a band, Broken Compass Society. So we have another couple of his songs. I might play one tonight or hang on to them. But anyway, that was the cover from that particular album, Lost and Found. And next week, we're going to be having a cool, this is kind of funny, you know, we talked about royalty companies and managers and things like that. And I talked to a fella named Chris Dukes, and I really like some of Chris's music, and I actually managed to talk to Chris on the telephone, and he told me that it was fine. I could use his music, and I said, great, would you mind just sending me a one-sentence note? You know, I own the rights to my music, and it's okay if Kim plays it on Brain Injury Radio, you know, whatever, like that. And then I've been copying those things and putting them in an album. Well, he said he'd do that, and not wanting to rush or anything. It was day before yesterday when I talked to him, and he hadn't gotten around to it yet, but I mean, he was very warm and inviting about it, thanked me for reaching out. Yes, he's happy to do it. And so today, he had given me his phone number, and of course I hadn't heard from him, and it's Wednesday, you know, my show was going to be on. I thought it would be cool to play a couple of Chris's songs. And so I called the number and his manager answered. And so now we're going to be starting Chris next week, I hope. In any case, the manager was just a little more difficult than Chris to deal with. So, but Chris owns the rights to his music, so they just need to get me that permission slip, and then we can play it. But he's got a couple of songs, well, a number of songs that I really like. One of them I'm only going to be using for next week's show, and it's when I'm having this jazz booth on, you know, we're around a patriotic time here in America. Sorry, Keith Anthony, our independence from the mothership day, you know, coming up. And so the week before, which will be, I guess it's not next week. It's the, I said wrong. It's the 26th of July. I'm sorry, June, which is the week before 4th of July, is when Jaspin Booth is going to be on Final Salute, Inc. And so this Chris has a really good song called Heroes. It's got a neat video that goes with it. And he wrote it for the troops coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan. And I think that'll be really cool, provided we get everything taken care of. I guess I got 2 weeks, not one, right? I don't even know what day it is. I guess I'm kind of tired, too. But what are we, the 13th? So it's really not next week. It's the week after, right?
Yes, I think you're right.
Okay, so all the people who didn't listen to Overtime are going to be looking for this gal next week. Oops. I hope I have a woman on, but it's not going to be Jaspin Booth. She is coming on the week before 4th of July, so we'll look forward to having her and also hearing Chris Duke's song Heroes, and we'll be hearing some of his other songs next week. So it's been a nice time speaking to new guests that are going to be on the show. Wish I had my calendar. I'd tell you who was going to be on next week. I think it might be Janet Cromer. She is coming up. She is a caregiver. Her husband was in a terrible accident. And actually, it wasn't an accident. As I'm recalling, he had a heart attack. And in the process of that, the oxygen was cut to his brain for too long. And so their life changed in a flash, like everybody we talked to on here. And she has written a workbook, actually, and a book on caregiving. So we'll switch gears a little bit next week. And I think Jan is the one who's my guest next week. So we'll have a couple of ladies, and we've had a couple of nice gentlemen on. So, Frank, did you like the TBI conference? You've been unmuted, but for some reason, I've got two numbers of yours on the board.
Frank?
Okay. Well, you know what's really weird about this, folks? Not that folks care, but the other hosts might. This is kind of funny. I'm going to unmute the other one for a minute, but the exact same number is in here twice.
I can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. I wonder why the other. No, I've got you. Yes.
Thank you.
I was just going to say that I have your number is on the switchboard twice, the exact same number. And I've had you unmuted on one of them. I didn't think it made any difference because they were the same number. So I just kind of boom, 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 unmuted you, Les, and Keith Anthony. But apparently you're not muted, Keith Anthony. But I understand. I mute myself a lot when the show's on air. But anyway, you're not muted. You're open, but I gotcha. But Frank, sorry. I thought you were unmuted this whole time. I don't know how the heck you got two of the exact same number in the studio. But
wow.
Did you enjoy your TBI conference in
yes.
Albany a couple weeks ago?
It was this past weekend. You know it was, Kim, because you were my host Thursday night.
Oh, it only feels like 2 weeks. Okay, last week. I'm sorry. I'm just really bad on my time today, you guys. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
A great guest. She's going to be on the show, not tomorrow night, but next week. I have a great guest tomorrow night. But tomorrow night, I managed to land the new president of the Brain Injury Association of New York State. She has a traumatic brain injury.
Wow.
Awesome.
Her name
that's
Dr. Lewis Tannenbaum.
The phone broke up. Could you say it again?
Dr. Lewis Tannenbaum. I said Lewis. Lois.
Okay. Lois. Lois Tannenbaum.
Yes.
Super. And that's in 2 weeks?
It's going to be a week from tomorrow night.
Great. And
hey.
You met her at the conference?
Yeah, she was at the conference. I waited till after the people got done harassing her, bugging her, whatever. I went up, I introduced myself, and she said she'd be on my show. Plus, I had an e-book copy of my book, and she paid $10 for it. I was already giving it to her. She paid, she said, how much that cost to print? I said, $10. She whipped out $10, so I made $10 off the sale.
And a guest. Score.
Yes.
Great.
I've
Good
got
for
maybe
you.
I have five or six or seven other people who want to be on my show because I handed out my new business cards, which are great. They talk about going to TurnDisabilityToAbility.com. And, Kim, if you haven't seen my new business cards, I'm going to have to send a couple out to you. They are great.
You know, the other thing you can do is that if Tracy, or I can't remember your other gal.
Michelle.
Marvelous Michelle. If you have a scanner, and I'd love to have your card for real, but just so you know this, I've had Gary scan my business card before so that I've been able to attach it to business correspondence that I have. And so if you have a scanner or one of your girls has a scanner, they would be able to scan your business card and then you can email it out to your guests.
Well, this is a two-sided card.
Except unless it's a two-sided card.
I know. Thank you.
Well, I mean, you could scan both sides, but yeah, I get you.
I was at the YMCHA. I gave our business cards there. All the seniors who got one were impressed. I was at two different TBI support group meetings. One was a stroke support group. I had 10 or 15 there. Everybody was impressed with the quality and how much it says. And it's got a picture of me with my book. It says, Fantastic Frank Johnson, the world's first and only differently abled motivational speaker. Trapped in a fire, carried out in a body bag, motivated to inspire millions. Inspire any audience to excel, book to speak. Conventions, radio, TV, call this number with my new email address, which is tied to my I Am Fantastic one. Then in back it says, get your free guide online. Learn how to increase your self-worth, have peace in your life, manifest life opportunity, improvement, conquer fear. Get your copy now at www.turndisabilitytobility.com. There is a picture of your free guide. It says 7 motivational secrets to... can't read what that says. 7 motivational secrets to excel every day, despite what hand you've been dealt.
Awesome. Well, that sounds great. That certainly gives you something to hang, you know, to hand out to these prospective guests so they remember who you are. That's good.
It has the RSP chart, the chart to my website, the RSP code.
Good.
So this card is pretty impressive.
It sounds like it. Well, that's good. It sounds like it's that, and the attendance at those conferences sound like it was a good for you. It really, really got some guests lined up, and it sounds like the potential for a lot of others. So that's wonderful. I'll talk to you tomorrow and tell you my address, and you can send me some.
Okay. Now, Kim, I look for Mike Strand on my LinkedIn page. I couldn't find his name.
Well, Frank, I don't do LinkedIn, are you sure he didn't say Facebook? I missed that. I think he did say LinkedIn, though.
I went and looked there. I couldn't find his name. And I know it was, I looked under Mark, but it was Mike. I looked under Mike Strand. I couldn't find anybody on there.
What about, I don't know if it's as specific as this, but what about if it was Michael Strand, and I just put that in the chat room. Maybe he goes by that. Maybe, like on his book, he signs it. His book is by Michael Strand, I believe. I was just calling him Mike because he answered the phone that way, so I figured it was okay for me to call him that. But maybe he's under Michael Strand. I just thought I heard you say something, Les Paul. That was all.
Oh, that's okay. I don't think I did.
Okay.
If I can't find him, I would appreciate that if you could forward to me his email address.
Yes. Let me know tomorrow, and I'll be happy to do that.
Thank you. Thank you for your help.
Yeah, absolutely. And if we talk tomorrow, I can also tell you real quick how to download the show when we've got the computer in front of us, because it is real easy to do. But I think it's easier to have the screen in front of you, and then I can just say, boom, right there, you'll know how to do it. So that's great. Yes, I do have Michael's email address, so make sure that you look relatively soon, because I get so many emails every day. He's going to get bumped down, and his email is not Mike or Michael Strand. It's something else. So, but I'll find him for you.
You
bet.
I was surprised that he said, hey, we're already unlinked together. I didn't even know about that one. I was very surprised by the fact he said he'd been to my website. He gave me all those positive things, which I'm amazed.
Looking for him. I'm unlinked. And I just wonder, what would I look for him under? I've got his name and everything. See if I can help you.
Yeah, just Michael Strand is all I know, unless, I don't know, wouldn't you put your name? I can tell you his book's name, but he's written more than one, so I'm not quite sure why he'd do that, but let me real quick, like, S-T-R-A-N-D. IND, I will search real quick. Oh, I guess I had my program notes. Well, his book is called Meditations on Brain Injury. All separate words, Meditations on Brain Injury. But, you know, and in this, he calls himself, in his description, Mike Strand, S-T-R-A-N-D. So I'm not sure, but you guys go ahead and keep looking. I'm going to play a song, and yes, if you don't find him, Frank, call me or drop me an email, probably an email, because then I'll be by my computer, and I won't forget, and I can just right then send you his email address. And in the meantime, I'm going to play a quick song we haven't heard for a while by Arrows and Sound, the guy who I encourage you to check out, arrowsandsound.com, and I'll type that in there. The guy who started that and has the studio's name is Philip Zach. He's a really nice guy. Also does some unique types of music, but this is his song, What If? So you guys have 3 minutes and 38 seconds to find Michael Strand on LinkedIn. Okay, go.
What if I
That's Philip Zach with Arrows and Sound, What If? And I put their link in the chat room. We've got about 30 minutes left, and I just forgot those boiling eggs again. Gosh darn it. So you dang, there's probably about one, I'm not even going to tell you about it, but give me 3 minutes 42 seconds to listen to a new girl that you really liked last week, Melanie Horsnell, Horsnell. This song is called Sometimes.
Color skin and I bleed just like anybody, and I want and I need as much as anybody. Sometimes I cry, but doesn't everybody? I have secrets, I have scars as deep as anybody. I have fears no one hears, don't tell anybody. Sometimes I lie, but doesn't everybody? Sometimes doesn't everybody?
Melanie Horsnell. I typed her name into the chat. The song's called Sometimes. You can find her on iTunes, Amazon, and all of the usual places. I think that's a pretty cool song. And remind me, I should just stay away from the stove altogether. That egg thing is, God, that egg thing. And then I did something when I came back to the studio, and I hit something in the studio where I can see all of your live mics, but I can't see your numbers anymore. I'm glad we're in the last part of the show. I don't know. I must have hit an arrow or something. I can see everybody's live mic, but all of the names and numbers are gone. Like the page starts right on the other side of the red microphone. Isn't that weird? I don't know how I did that. But I've done a few of those things tonight. So use the scroll bar at the bottom. That shouldn't help. Oh, that's what you're saying. I gotta say, Keith Anthony has been a mentor in so many ways. But he's right. I did something, and he's right. There was a scroll bar on the bottom. He has X-ray vision. He's probably in here somewhere. Oh, crumb. And now you know what happened? 10% remaining. Oh, no, that can't be, Keith Anthony, because that's not the case.
10%?
Yeah, it means I've got to plug myself in. So I'm going to let you hear one more song by our new artist, Kevin Harrison, and this is called See You Soon, which I will, in 3 minutes and 49 seconds.
Never fail. but it's all we'll ever have.
That was See You Soon by Kevin Harrison. And again, you can find that on iTunes or CD Baby or probably Amazon, but I know on iTunes. See You Soon, Kevin Harrison. That's off his Lost and Found album.
Very nice.
Yeah, I really like that song. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. Yeah, okay, it's unanimous. Well, I'll let him know. We like that here on Brain Injury Radio. Good song.
Now, Kim, can I tell you what? I tried to contact Mike Strand through his web, through his LinkedIn account. I need to know his email address before I could do that. Because
okay.
I'm not an upgraded member.
That's cool. I'll send it to you tomorrow. I would tonight, but this computer I only do radio on. I have cable email.
Did
and it's,
you out a letter with the attachment? What happened when I found it? When Les Paul sent it to me, I opened it up. I tried to contact him by saying he was a colleague on Brain Injury. Whatever it was, it came up, it was Brain Injury, whatever his web page was. And then it asked me for his email address. I don't know what it is.
I'll send it to you in the morning.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, like I said, I would do it now, but it's on my email's on my big girl computer, and I can't wake the old man. I won't have bacon in the bread box.
Thank you. God bless you. Thank you for your help.
You're welcome. I was just holding this rock. I was visiting my Nana a couple weeks ago, and, you know, she just moved into the assisted care facility, so I've got a lot of things to go through. I wound up taking home with me, and there was a rock, and there's nothing special about it. It's just a little rock that fits in the palm of my hand. And on one side, somebody wrote stepping stone. And on the other side, they wrote stumbling block.
That's cool.
Well, nobody else thought it was cool, thus I have it. But I happen to have a rock collection, and it's in a really cool woven Indian basket in the middle of my dining room table. I've got a bunch of rocks and crystals that I've collected over the years, and I thought this one was kind of funny because it does show you perspective, right? And two sides to everything. And besides that, it was something that my Nana had, so now it's part of the permanent rock collection, and I would prefer to look at a lot of things in life as stepping stones and not stumbling blocks. All in your attitude,
well,
right?
I knew that you collected rocks. I've been to Ukraine twice. I brought back a rock. I gave it to a friend of mine who is a rock collector. I've been up to Medford, Oregon, where Neil Donald Walsh lives. I brought back a few rocks for her there. I don't think I have any more. Always, if I had known you 2 or 3 years ago when I was out there, I would have brought you back some rocks from there.
Oh, thanks. Well, it's the thought that counts. I'm older. I've been collecting for a long time. So, yeah, it's always nice to get new ones. I took a class. One of the things I did, and we are winding down. We only got about 10 minutes, so I'll talk fast. But since we were talking about it, one of the things I did when I was trying to rediscover my my new self was that I took a lapidary class. And for those that don't know, lapidary is when it's kind of like, I suppose, boys, you know, they used to have shop class in the old days, and they take a piece of a rock and they use a skill saw and they cut it so that there's like about the width of a slice of bread. And then you take a template with a lead thing, mm-hmm. and you outline the template, and then you go to the skill saw and you cut as close as you can around your design. Then you go to the grinder and you grind in, you know, your, whether it's an oval, or I liked hearts because they were more challenging, but I also really like hearts. And so then you'd use the grinder and try to get as close as you can, and then you'd use the sander, you know, to get the edges smooth, and then you'd use the buffer, you know, to get all the sand off and buff it down, and then you'd use the polisher. I can't believe I remembered that sequence. I was really having to think hard as I went. But anyway, I really loved that class so much that I took it twice. I had never really done anything manual in that way, and that was a really cool experience to have. So anyway, good rocks for that, or jasper. You don't want to try cutting diamonds on your first time at the skill saw. No fine gems at your first time at rock cutting. So anyway, I think we're about winding it down. So if you guys don't mind, good night. I'm going to mute the mic, and then before I make any more mistakes tonight, I'm going to close us just a little bit ahead of the hour. What?
I was just saying, what good staff you are.
Yeah. Yeah, good staff. I just about thank you for that scrolling bar thing, and for trying to warn me earlier, but about the microphone. But all in all, it's a wrap, and I think it was a good show, and I thank you guys for staying in overtime. Love y'all. Have a good day or night in your case tomorrow, and thank you guys for being here tonight. Now I'm going to go thank everybody else.
It was our pleasure. Thank you. It was our pleasure. Thank you, Kim.
You bet. Many blessings, Frank. Okay, everybody. Well, it is a wrap. So thank you so much for being here tonight. We want to thank our Brain Injury Radio sponsor, Gordon Johnson of TBILaw.com. I want to give special thanks to my show sponsor, Lash Publishing. Check them out at lapublishing.com. They're just really wonderful people. Want to thank my guest, Mike Strand, tonight. He's a super cool guy, and we're going to have him back again for another discussion. And other than that, let's see, Frank, fantastic. Frank show is on tomorrow. Check it out. Keith Anthony will be around on Saturday. And I guess that's about it. Thank you, everybody, so much. I appreciate you being here. And I think what I'll do is just close out with the song and let it roll out itself, because all of a sudden I got dogs barking and everything's going crazy here at midnight in the Midwest. So what will we play? How about how many minutes do I have? Not that many minutes. So I'm going to play Kathleen Edwards. This is something we, aside from a guardian angel, that we all want to have at one time or another, probably all the time. This is called Soft Place to Land by Kathleen Edwards. Thanks so much for being here tonight, you guys. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
call it.